together. Let's sing.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. And your head is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. And your voice is calling me out right now. I know you're able, so my God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things but fail, 'cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know, you never will. Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing right now. Breaking my heart stone, taking over like a Jericho.
God, amen. Let's continue to worship this morning. There is joy in the house of the Lord. Can I get a witness today? Our joy depends on Jesus, not our circumstance, but only in Jesus, who is here and desires our worship this morning. Come on, you know this song. Sing it together with us.
We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging my God, he holds the victory. Yeah,
come on.
There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out of your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out.
Church, we sing.
We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. 'Cause he hung upon that cross, then he rose up from that grave. My God, still.
Somebody needs this morning.
We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by his grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise.
Come on, sing it.
We were the beggars.
Amen this morning. Let's give God a shout of praise this morning. Preston Wood, I love to hear your worship. There is joy in this place this morning because we know that our Lord has never lost a battle. Amen. And he's fighting for us today, and he's fighting for you today. And that's why we worship. We want to lift his name high. We want to give glory and honor and praise to Jesus. We're so glad that you could be with us this morning in worship. Why don't you go ahead and have a seat? And as you are, I want to take this opportunity to welcome all of you, both here in our services in the room and those of you connecting with us online. It is an absolute thrill for us every time we gather for the thousands of folks all over the world, wherever you are engaging in worship with us today. We want to say welcome to you. We love you, and we're praying for you as you connect with us online. And those of you here in the room, maybe you're a first-time guest here at Prestonwood. Maybe you've been worshiping with us for a little while, and this place is becoming more and more like home. We just want to say how glad we are and how honored we are that you're here with us to lift high the name of Jesus. Now, I just want to encourage you, if you are here for the first time especially, we want you to take a second, take out your phone, and text the word CONNECT to 74788. The number 74788, text the word CONNECT. When that happens, a few things are going to populate on your phone, a great link there that you can click onto, where you can find out more about who we are, but we want to find out more about how we can pray for you and help you engage in the life and the love of this church in the days ahead. So I hope you'll do that. And on your way out of our service today, I hope you'll stop by Guest Central outside either of these doors immediately behind you. We've got a team of people that have prayed and are prepared to encourage you, to pray with you, and help direct you towards where God might be leading you in worship with us and in community today as well. Well, Prestonwood, as always, we want to acknowledge and say thank you on behalf of our pastor and our entire staff team for your ongoing and continued generosity. This is a generous church, and I just want to encourage you as we come out of the summer and into the fall to continue to be generous in your giving and your faithfulness and your tithes and your offerings. And one of the reasons why we encourage you so much about that is because of the work that comes out of this church as much as what goes on in the life of this church. And one of the great ministries that Prestonwood, you are a part of, is our Prestonwood Network. Our Prestonwood Network is a community of well over 100 pastors all over North America. It was birthed in the heart of our pastor years ago in alignment with his vision to invest and grow and encourage pastors as they go out into cities all over our country and North America to take the gospel, to plant churches, to revitalize and breathe new life into existing churches. And one of our incredible planters, in fact, one of our original Prestonwood Network planters, is here today. Prestonwood, would you take a moment and welcome Dr. Roscoe Lilly? Roscoe, we're so glad you're here today, man.
It's good to be here, John.
And Roscoe's here with his son, Riker. And they also have, he and his wife, Mariana, have two other kids, Annabelle and Adeline.
That's correct.
And Star Point Church there in the Albany area in New York, the capital of New York State, started in 2003. But tell us, Roscoe, what God's doing, and then why don't you pray for us as we continue to worship?
I'd love to. I wanted to come here from New York and just from the bottom of my heart and from our church just to say thank you for being so generous, for going all in with your giving. It took 2 years because of COVID for us to come here, but God was still doing great things in New York. Today, there are people who will be in heaven because of your generous giving, people that you've never, ever met before in New York because of what you do here. So I just want to say thank you. Thank you. We moved into our very first building in Easter, and in a time where lots of churches are closing down, consolidating in upstate New York, that we were able to build our very first building, and we've seen two people be baptized every single week since Easter. We've also seen, God is doing so many great things. We've had 200 new families come and visit the church, and now we are out of parking. So in 2 weeks, we go before the planning board to get more parking. So thank you for just your generous giving.
Amen. Yeah. Isn't that encouraging? And Preston, would just remember through your generosity, through your kindness and your prayers, planters and pastors and churches like Roscoe and Starpoint, he and his family are up there taking the gospel. I think you told me earlier, the largest Southern Baptist church in New York is 950 folks.
That's correct.
But if I'm not mistaken, on Easter, how many were in worship with you this year in that new building?
We had 850.
850 people, Prestonwood. Phenomenal movement of God there in New York. So pray for Starpoint Church. Pray for Roscoe. Roscoe, why don't you pray for us as we continue to worship?
Father, I thank you for this great church. I thank you for how every single person here goes all in with their generosity to see your gospel spread here in Texas and beyond. God, we thank you that the sun never sets on the ministries here of Prestonwood. God, we thank you for Pastor Graham. We thank you for his heart for you, his heart that we thank you for the fresh vision and passion that you have given him. We pray, God, that you would just continue to strengthen him, continue to increase him, and bless every person who calls Prestonwood home. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
In the book of John chapter 15, Jesus is having a last supper with his closest friends, his disciples. And amongst other things, he says this to them in chapter 15, verse 13, "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In Jesus' last words to his disciples, he found it important enough to let us know that he is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. I love this song. I grew up on this song. at a little church not too far from here out east. Would you sing it with me? What a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to care everything to God in prayer.
Oh, what peace.
Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh,
next verse is important. There are so many of you in this room right now dealing with trials and temptations. This is a reminder, you are not alone. Let's sing. Have we trials?
Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? Should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus knows our every weakness. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. Grandma used to pray out loud by her bed every night. To me it sounded like mumbling, like she was out of her mind. She said, boy, this kind of praying is what saved my life. You ought to try it sometime. Now I know she was right. She was talking to Jesus. She was talking to Jesus. She'd been talking to Jesus for all of her life.
Listen, my mama used to drag me to church. That's true. Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, right? Khaki pants and a polo shirt. Boy, I put up a fight. She said, son, one day you'll thank me for having God in your life. I know she was right. Yeah, my mama was right. Now I'm talking to Jesus. She got me talking to Jesus. Got me talking to Jesus. Yeah, my mama was right. 'Cause now I'm talking to Jesus. Yeah, I love talking to Jesus. And I'll be talking to Jesus for the rest of my life. Listen, here we go. What a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa, what a friend we have. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus.
what a friend we have in Jesus. Whoa. Bad time to start. It don't have to sound pretty. You just tell them what's on your heart. This is important, cause it's not a religion. It's more like a friendship. Just talk to your father like you are his kid. Just start talking to Jesus. Just start talking to Jesus. Cause you can talk to Jesus whenever you like, right here, right now.
Just start talking to Jesus.
Lift his name.
Start talking to Jesus.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. For the rest of your life, lift him up, church. Yeah. Oh, talk, talk.
Amen. And really, that's my subject for today. What a friend we have in Jesus. Thank you for being here today. Welcome to all of you online. And let me say my welcome to you, Roscoe. And we're so glad to have you and so grateful to partner with you. And Reichard, 11 years old. You look like a preacher in the making to me, Reichard. He is named after a good friend of mine, Ike Reichert, a mentor, and his middle name, though, is Jack. So I'm suggesting you turn that around. You be Jack Reichert, Lily. That'll be a good thing for you. Go ahead. No, you just keep your name right where it is. It's a wonderful name. Today is a big day across the world, really, in that this is a World Hunger Sunday. And we are cooperating with Southern Baptist International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board and a program called Send Relief. And we're always in support of these organizations. But today is a special day in that we are receiving an extra, a supplemental offering to your regular giving, if you can, to world hunger. Millions and millions of people are starving around the world. And we want to make an impact the best we can. And so we're going to be giving, and I believe there's a slide on the screen that will help you get directed towards how to give to this. You certainly can designate that in your regular giving. Do we have that slide? There it is. But the best way thing to do is text HUNGER to 74788, and then it will direct you as you give. 74788. You can do it in the boxes, and we'll just say it, do it this way. Every loose thing in the bills, coins, everything that's loose will go to the World Hunger offering. If you want to, on your regular check, some of you still write a check, put that on the stub if you want to do it in your regular giving. But let's make this a day of remembering the poor and the hurting and the homeless around the world and those who are hungry. Because we want to share the love of Jesus with them. And so aren't you glad our church is in support of this and that our Southern Baptist Convention is leading the way in this. We're very grateful for that. I also want to mention the next step is an opportunity for you to, well, take the next step. In a few moments, after I give the message, I'm going to be inviting people forward to take a step of faith to follow Christ, others to take a step in to the fellowship of our church. But then the next step would be for many of you to be a part of our Next Step program, which is actually meeting this morning. But we have a number of ways that you can get connected to the Next Step. If you are a prospective member and you want to know more, or if you are a new member, we don't require this for membership, but we do expect it and encourage it highly. So many of you are new to the area. And maybe you're new to Southern Baptist or what a Baptist church is, and what is Prestonwood. So this will help you get acquainted with us, who we are, what we are about, what is our mission, and I hope you will be a part of this. I appreciate so very much the scripture that Caleb read from John chapter 15. And I was telling him this morning when he shared that he was going to be sharing the message, and of course we knew what a friend was coming, and a brand new song, Just Talking to Jesus. I love it. But John 15, verses 13 and 14 was the very first sermon I preached. I was 15 years of age, and when God led me to choose a text for my very first sermon, so if I'm subtracting correctly, that was 57 years ago when I preached that message, because I was so taken, even as a young person, even as a child, with the fact that Jesus would be my friend. That it wasn't a religion, but a relationship with him. And so I spoke to young people. It was a teenage service. And I spoke to them about what a friend we have in Jesus. And I'm still bringing that message today. And I'm bringing it more and more. Because we need to know Jesus. And we need to know him that we would have eternal life and abundant life here and now, and to meet the crisis of our own day and the chaos of our own times. You know, coming out of the pandemic, we now have long COVID, and I'm not talking about the virus leftovers, but I'm talking about what's left over emotionally and psychologically. And the mental health issues are now the issues that we're facing most after lockdowns and shutdowns and sending everybody home and schools out and even churches shut down. In so many ways, people were then isolated. And some, in fact many, have not yet recovered from the loneliness and the alienation and the separation. And there are so many lonely people. Now, loneliness is a subject that we're all familiar with. I don't have to convince you that people are lonely. We've been singing about it. We've been saying it for years. I was just thinking about some of the old songs about loneliness, like Rick Nelson used to sing There's a place where lovers go to cry their troubles away, and they call it Lonesome Town, where the broken hearts stay. Really kind of hurts me that only three people knew that, that song. It's really old. Okay, Elvis is back with the movie, all right? Elvis sang, what did Elvis sing? Are you lonesome tonight? And then just kind of flash forward. Well, then there's only the lonely. But flash forward to the 60s maybe a little bit, and the Beatles sang what? All the lonely people. Where do they come from? All the lonely people. How about Three Dog Night? One is the loneliest number that you'll ever know. So many songs, because it is the reality of the human condition. America sang, and it's the title of the sermon actually, this is for all the lonely people. And that includes all of us, because there are times in our lives, all of us, we are lonely or we are lonesome or we find ourselves alone. The fact is, you can be alone and not be lonely. In fact, alone time is a good time. Some of your parents put your kids in time out, and you're wanting time out yourself, right? So alone time is good. Spending time alone with God is a good thing. And I would really encourage you to always take time to be with just you and God. Amen. Just talking to Jesus. So very, very important. But loneliness is not a good thing. Isolation is not a good thing. And loneliness is that feeling of being unknown or unnamed or unnoticed or even unneeded. Some of you are wondering, why am I even here? It's that feeling of alienation and separation, and even it can translate into boredom and purposelessness, just losing your why in life, your reason to get up every day. You're just so lonely. You're so lonely, I could cry. And there's a lot of reasons for loneliness. There's a lot of reasons to feel lonely. It has no respect for age. In fact, we know now social media doesn't even help that much. The more you get addicted to social media and the need for a screen social relationship, the more lonely you become. And the result of this loneliness is anxiety and depression and perhaps anger. All of these mental health issues that we're facing in the culture and, yes, in the church. It's not concerned with position in life. Loneliness is not concerned with your position in life. You can be lonely as a homeless person, or you can be lonely as the CEO of your company. They say it's lonely at the top. So it's lonely at the bottom. It's lonely at the top. It attacks and can attack at all times of day. It can attack you in the middle of the night when you feel so all alone. Loneliness is the breakdown of your marriage. You can be lonely in a marriage that's not working. You can be lonely in a crowd. You may be the life of the party, and yet there's a cosmic kind of loneliness, an internal separation that you know, and you can be around a lot of people, and yet feel all alone. You're trying to deal with the way that you feel. Loneliness is a divorce. Not only the divorce of a couple, but the divorce of a family, when a child is wondering, who am I going to live with now? What's going to happen to me? That's loneliness. If you're a teenager, loneliness is saying no to what is wrong when everyone else around you may be saying yes, and you are learning to stand alone. Amen. For Christ. But there's a loneliness in that. There's the loneliness of being pregnant and not knowing what to do. It's one of the big reasons that we started our pregnancy center ministry years ago, because a woman, a young woman or an older woman who is alone in a pregnancy, we want to be there to encourage them and help them and love them and help them to make the right choice concerning the future of their child. Loneliness takes a lot of forms and formations. Loneliness is watching your child leave home for the first time or the last time. I don't have to go on, do I, to convince you that loneliness is a problem for so many people, for the widow, for the widower. There's an empty place at the table on the other side of the bed. There's loneliness. One psychologist put it this way: loneliness may be one of America's most serious sources of disease. He said, besides causing emotional pain and self-destructive behavior, such as dependence upon alcohol and drugs and cigarettes, researchers say loneliness is also linked to such anxious ailments, serious ailments as heart disease and hypertension. It is a fact that physically loneliness is a killer. I read a study that said loneliness is a bigger killer than obesity. So I'm thinking it's better to be fat and happy than to be thin, skinny and alone. So this is for all the lonely people. You might know that this is not a new problem. With all the new stuff that's going on around us, it's really a problem that existed from the very beginning of time. But turning your Bibles to Psalm 102, Psalm 102. And one of the reasons that we read the Psalms so often, and I read the Psalms most every day, portions of the Psalms, but it's so raw, it is so real, and David, who is the author under the divine inspiration of the Holy Spirit, often expresses his emotional needs, his personal needs. And 102 of the Psalms is actually a messianic psalm that points to Christ, but we'll get to more of that in just a moment. But verse 3 of Psalm 102 says, "For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace." He's having a physical response to an emotional need. He said, "My heart is struck down like grass and is withered, and I forgot to eat my bread." He can't eat. He's not sleeping. And then in verse 6, he says, "I'm like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake, and I am like a lonely sparrow on a housetop." I walked out of my house at dark 30 this past week. That's early, dark 30. And I looked up, and there was a lonely little bird on the top of our house. And I thought of this passage, just a little bird up there. And I was thinking, I wonder what he's thinking. I wonder what that lonely little bird is doing. You know, Jesus talked about birds like that one. And he says, even if a sparrow falls from the sky, the Father in heaven knows. And if he cares about the birds, he cares about you, believer. But the psalmist right now is struggling with loneliness and the attendant effects emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually. And he wants to know, what can I do? Well, in Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible says that God will never forsake us. And what we read in Psalms and flipping over to the rest of the Bible and a passage that is in both Old Testament and New Testament, we're told that our God never leaves us or forsakes us. That's Hebrews 13 verses 5 and 6. He says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." That's right. A young preacher boy was waxing eloquent I don't know if he was waxing eloquent or waxing an elephant on this text, but he was getting after it. He had learned something in seminary about the Hebrew intensive, and this verse translated in then into the New Testament actually said, according to his professor at the seminary, he said it actually means it's a Hebrew intensive kind of word. It means I will never, no, never, no, never, never, no, never leave you or forsake you. So he thought he would try that out on his country church. And he goes out in the country and he's got 13 people like Deb and I had in our first church out in Cross Plains, Texas. But he's preaching and he gets to that and he's going to impress his group with his knowledge of the language. And he says, you know what this really means is I will never, no, never, never, no, never, ever, never, ever leave you or forsake you. And after it was over, a little lady, a godly lady in that church walked up to him and said, Pastor, that was a good sermon. But on that never, no, never, I don't know how much God has to say that for you Hebrew fellows, but once is enough for me. I like that. God has said it. In fact, it says he has said. Therefore, we say, God will never leave us or forsake us. And really, that's what this message that I'm bringing you is about. That God is present always. And as we are practicing the presence of Jesus, talking to Jesus, walking with Jesus, then we are never alone. Because he has promised never to abandon us, never to forsake us, never to leave us, never to quit on us, but to always be present. And I know that may sound simple and something that you've heard all of your life. But think about it just for a moment. What if it's really true that he's with you always, good times and bad times, even when we can't see him or feel him or touch him physically? His presence is real. I'm here to tell you today, after walking and talking with Jesus all these years, he's more real to me than I could possibly tell you. Amen. He is real in my life. He's not someone I just know about. He's someone that I know. And that's why I wanted to talk to my friends in high school about so long ago. What a friend we have in Jesus. And it's what I'm saying to you today, that this friend is a friend that does stick closer than a brother. I had a wonderful older brother, 13 years my senior, and he was the kind of brother that would always pick me up and encourage me, and he was a hero and a model to me. It's great to have a wonderful big brother. Well, all of us have Jesus, our elder brother, and he is a big brother who cares that he's always present in the lives of his children, always. And so what we need to do is recognize every single day of our lives. First thing when you get up in the morning, when you open your eyes, open your heart to God. It doesn't have to be long, but just take some time to talk to Jesus. Maybe even before you roll out of the sack, just say, good morning, Lord. Some of you get up and say, good Lord, it's morning. You know, they say the first 15 minutes, 10 minutes of your getting up in the morning will set the tone, the pace for the rest of your day. And I believe that's true. Your attitude gets adjusted pretty quickly. And so I make it a practice every single day to greet him and meet him. In the morning, I met God in the morning when my day was at its best and his presence felt like sunshine, like a glory to my breast. And all day long, his presence lingered. All day long, he walked with me. Sometimes we sailed on troubled waters and over a troubled sea, but I think after these years, I've learned the lesson. If you want God in the evening, you must seek him first in the morning. And that is what I have learned It is practicing the presence of Jesus in your life. It's walking and talking with Jesus. One of the great passages that we find in the Bible is Philippians chapter 4, and it talks about not worrying, and of course, not practicing his presence creates worry in our lives. And worry is not just a bad habit, it is a bad habit, but it's also godless and sinful. Jesus said, "Why are you worrying, O you of little faith? Whatever is not of faith is sin." So worry is not just a bad habit. It's not just a genetic predisposition. Oh, my mother worried, I worry. No, worry is failure to trust in the promises of God, to trust in God Himself. Worry is assuming responsibility that God never intended for me to have. Worry is the anxious feeling of thinking, well, things aren't going to work out the way I want them to work out. That's worry, that's fear, that's anxiety. And ultimately, how do we get there? It's because we're not practicing the presence of Jesus. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry what? Everything to God in prayer. But in Philippians 4, when it's talking about do not worry about anything, but pray about everything, right in the middle of it, it says, the Lord is near. The Lord is near. So when you realize and recognize that God is here right now, I'm talking to Jesus, then you can pray with thanksgiving, and the peace of God will flood your soul, run like a river through you, and His joy. Rejoice in the Lord evermore. That verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Sometimes we think that sounds like a Christian cliche. No, it is scripture, and it happens when the Lord is near. You say, Pastor, the Lord just doesn't seem all that close to me. Well, guess who moved? When I was dating Deb in college, it was pretty much love at first sight. I was a sophomore, she was a freshman. I got myself elected class president of the sophomore class in my freshman year so I could be there first to meet all the freshman girls coming in. It's true. My only motivation. Did I really care about student government? None whatsoever. What I cared about, and so it worked. I met Deb and we were dating, and I had a card, wasn't a very good one, but at the point, when you first started dating, I'm in the driver's seat and she's over there by the window, and I'm trying to figure out how to get her over a little bit. And so one day it was raining on the campus, and I'm thinking, Eureka. So I just opened the window on the passenger side, and that seat got all wet over there. And I said, Deb, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to scoot over. I'm sorry the seat is wet. Come on over here. That also worked. And 53 years later, it's still working. But, I looked up one day, and she's back on the other side of the car. She said, well, we're just not as close as we used to be. Well, guess who moved, So who moved? So concerning your relationship with Jesus. If God seems far away, if He doesn't seem close to you, the Bible says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Amen. And some of you used to be walking with Jesus. You were talking with Jesus, but you're not doing it anymore. You used to come to church to hear more about Jesus, but you stopped going. You used to serve the Lord, and you were faithful to Him because you wanted to tell people about Jesus. You wanted to talk about Jesus, not talk to Jesus. But now you're far away and you're wondering, where is God? It happens when people get in an emergency and they cry out to God, God, where are you? They call 911 and wonder if He's answering. Where are you, God? And God seems far away because you moved. The good news is you can come back to him. The good news is you can come to him and he will welcome you back home. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. It happened to that prodigal boy, that son. He wanted it all while his father was still alive. He demanded his inheritance. He went to a far country. He wasted everything he had, all his inheritance. He threw it all away, threw his life away, ends up broken and wasted and ruined, living in literally a pig pen. And he's thinking, if I could just go home. But I wonder if my father would accept me. I wonder if he would take me back. But he came to himself and he began the long journey home. And if you've been around your Bible a while, you know this great story. It's been called the greatest short story in history. The story that Jesus told about this prodigal who came home and the father who saw him at a distance and ran to him and embraced him and welcomed him and said, kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My son who was lost is found. The son who was blind now sees. See, that's a picture of God, your father. And no matter how far you've moved away, how far down the road you are in your sin and separation from the Father, you can come to him. You can repent of your sin. And if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness. That loneliness that you feel in your life, you know what it really is? It's your need for God.
Amen.
Oh, there's psychological problems that we have related to loneliness and all the rest, but really we all have a spiritual problem. And it's our need for God, our hunger for God. You can take it all the way back to the beginning in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve sinned and broke God's commandment and they were cast out of the garden and they're now separated from God. God told them, if you eat of this fruit that is forbidden, you will die. The enemy, Satan, said, you'll not die. But they did die. How did they die? Not physically immediately, but instantaneously they died in their spirit because God moved out. They were no longer walking with the Lord in the garden in the cool of the day. They were no longer experiencing intimacy with God for which we are all made. And Adam and Eve sinned and that broke their relationship with God the Father, God the Creator. And what happened then in history and the destiny of mankind, Adam and Eve passed this sin, this separation along to us. And we were born in sin. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He was born in sin, and we are sinners by nature, sinners by birth. That's why you don't have to teach a child to lie. You have to teach a child not to lie. That's why you don't have to teach a child to steal. You have to teach a child not to steal. It's our inherited inclination. This is us. And it's because now we're separated from God. You say, well, I didn't have any part of Adam's sin. Well, you're not only a sinner by nature, you're a sinner by choice. Given the opportunity, you have chosen to rebel against God. And sin, no matter how big or small it may be, all of it separates us from God. And so this loneliness that we have in our lives is a spiritual problem. You don't know God. You don't have God in your life. The boredom, the restlessness, the alienation, the separation, that loneliness, that lonely, desperate feeling is because you don't have the life of God in you. You don't have Jesus in your life. You're not talking to Jesus. You don't know Jesus. And the result of that sin is judgment. The wages of sin is death. You can go to church, some churches, all your life and never hear the subject of hell mentioned, but we're going to talk about it today.
Amen.
Because hell is the ultimate separation. Jesus talked about it. The one who loves you the most warns us all that there is a place of torment, and the hell of hell is separation from God. You know, some people laugh it off and say, well, I'll just go to hell with the devil and all my friends and we'll play poker or whatever throughout eternity. Look, there's going to be no fun and games in hell. You ever tried playing a game in a blast furnace? It doesn't work that way. No, the hell of hell is eternal isolation and separation from God. And there's judgment. And no matter what you have, when you stand before a holy God in judgment, the Bible says, prepare to meet your God. When you stand before God, you won't be standing with your friends. You won't be standing with your family. You won't be standing with your church. You won't be standing with your fraternity. You won't be standing with your buddies. You'll be standing alone in the presence of a holy God, stripped of everything in this life that you thought was important. And the only thing that's going to matter in that moment is, what did you do with Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Some of you need to come back to Jesus today. You know him. But you need to get back. You need to make the move and come back to him. And you'll find him running to you to embrace you. One of the places we visit when we go to Israel is the Pool of Bethesda. It's one of those X marks the spot, legitimate places. We know what happened there. And there was a man who was there for 38 years, paralyzed and alone. And there was a tradition that angels would stir the waters and you'd get in the water and you could be healed. And this man had no one to help him. He was hopeless and helpless. 38 years, can you imagine just laying there every day, day after day after day? And along comes Jesus. He says, do you want to be healed? You want to be made well? He said, there's no man, no one will help me. Jesus said, I'll help you. He says, take up your mat and walk. Jesus is a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. And he'll pick you up when everybody else lets you down. When nobody else will help you, and some will even hurt you, Jesus is your friend. And if you will trust him and receive him, believe him by repenting of your sin and receiving Christ, repentance means that you step out of your sin and the direction that you're going and you step into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because here's what happened. Just heads up for about three or four more final moments. Here's what happened. Jesus went to the cross and he poured out his blood on the cross. He sacrificed his life willingly for you. He died on the cross for our sins. And when he died, when he was bearing our sins, how many times have you heard me over the years say, not only did he die for our sin, he died as our sin, in our sin, because he took our sin upon him. And the moment that he was bearing the weight of the world's sin, when he was dying on the cross, he cried out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that finite moment, it's a mystery that theologians can't explain. One theologian said, God, forsaken of God, who could fathom this? But in that finite moment, Jesus took the infinite weight and judgment of sin upon himself. And he was separated from God because God is of purer eyes, Habakkuk says, to even look at iniquity. God turned his back on the sin laid upon his son. And he did that for you and for me. When his friends forsook him, one betrayed him, one denied him. Others ran away. When the world was mocking him, he was giving his life for you. When everything within him was saying, quit. You don't have to do this. Lay down the cross. Go your way. Go back to Nazareth. Live your days out. He willingly took the cross and bore the pain and the punishment, the sin and the shame, and died on the cross. How? So that, are you with me? You can have a relationship with God. So that you could be his friend forever. When they nailed him to a cross, those scars remained in his hands. In fact, the only man-made thing that's going to be in heaven will be the scars of Jesus in his palms of his hands and in his feet. There will be no scars in heaven. That's a good thing. I've got a scar right over my left eyebrow that I got when I was a little boy. I used to tell people I got it from fighting because I thought I was tough. Actually, I just fell on a baseboard. But I got a scar here. I got one here, too, from falling out of the car when I was a moving car when I was 3 years old. That's another story. But all these scars, and then the scars of life, more than physical, all the scars, they're all gone for us. But Jesus will bear the scars in heaven. The psalmist said, he has engraved us on the palms of his hands. Your name is tattooed on the palms of Jesus. And so when Jesus laid down his body on that cross and extended his hands, when they nailed him to the cross through his palms, your name was there. Your name is written. So everything you're going through, when he's guiding and governing your life, these are nail-scarred hands. And he knows your need and he knows your name, and you can trust him and you can know he is with you. Written on the inside of my father's Bible, my father passed away August 28th, 1970, so today, 52 years ago, brutally taken early in his life, the hand of a murderer. But in his Bible, I got his Bible, and my dad was not a Bible student, really a Bible scholar. He's a wonderful dad, friend, and worked in the church, but he wasn't a Bible scholar for sure. But he had one verse written down in the margin of his Bible, in the flyleaf of his Bible. It was Isaiah 41:10. I know it must have been his favorite verse. You know what Isaiah 41:10 says? Fear not, for what? I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Don't dread the future. Do not be dismayed, for I will strengthen you. I will help you. And I will hold you with the right hand, the strong right hand of my righteousness. So for all the lonely people, if you're a Christian and you're lonely and maybe you're sad today or grieving today, and lean into the Lord. He is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. He won't quit on you. He didn't quit at the cross. He didn't die at the cross permanently, because he went to the grave, he rose again, and he lives, and he can be your Savior and Lord. If you don't know him, today's the day to trust him and receive him. If you do know him, start talking to Jesus. Start walking with Jesus for the rest of your life. And then walk right into glory. Walk right into his presence. You know, I've never seen Jesus physically, but one day we'll see him face to face. Peter said, though you have not seen him, you love him. I've not seen him, but I love him. I look forward to being with him when that day comes. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together, heads are bowed. Wherever you are, maybe watching on a screen in this room, just bow your head and ask Jesus to come into your life. It's a simple prayer, really. It's not complicated. Just say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I ask you to come into my life. I turn from my sin. I repent. I turn from my sin, and I trust in you and you only to be my Lord and be my Savior. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior, my Master, my God, my friend. And if you will pray that prayer, he will do it. Thank him. Say, thank you, Jesus. You may not feel a lot. You may feel something. You may feel nothing. This is not about your feeling. This is about your faith. It's about your trust in God. The feelings will come and go. But are you now trusting in Christ? Are you committing your life to follow him? If so, I'm going to ask you to come forward. Upstairs, we have ministers in the balcony, and down on the lower level here, we have our pastors here. I'm going to invite you to come forward and openly follow Jesus. Jesus said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. That's a simple promise. Something that he promised and something you need to promise him. Lord, I will follow you. So I'm going to ask you, wherever you're standing across this big room, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. You say, what's going to happen when I come forward? We'll have a brief word with you. We're not going to stand you up here and you're not going to make a speech or anything like that. We're not going to ask you a bunch of questions you can't answer. Just a simple act of faith. There's something about coming forward in a service like this that will seal and solidify and strengthen your commitment, your faith in Christ. So I'm going to ask you to come forward and make that decision public. There are others, you're believers, but you want to belong to this church. I didn't even have time to talk about the role of the church in our loneliness. So many people are lonely because they're not in church. Look, your kids that are struggling right now, they need to be in church. Your grandchildren that are hurting right now, the suicidal thoughts and the death rates and the loneliness and the depression and the anxiety among teenagers today is off the charts. Your kids, your grandchildren, they need Jesus and they need you to lead the way in your family. Maybe you're a single adult. You say, I'm just alone here. Come to Jesus. They're friends in the family of God. We'll be your friend because Jesus is our friend together. So if you want to join this church today, I'm going to ask that you come forward. Set the example for others who will follow you to Jesus. I'm going to ask that Christians be praying. I respectfully ask you not to be leaving during the invitation, because this is the most important and powerful moment in the service as far as I'm concerned, when people start talking and walking with Jesus. So Lord, we pray that you would move by your Holy Spirit in every heart and in the lives of those who are trusting in you today. Give them the strength and the courage, the faith to come forward now and follow you fully for the rest of their days. For those who you will add to your church, bring them in, Lord, that we might grow together and be the family of God, be friends forever in Jesus' name. And we ask this expectantly in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.